bulletin is a handout of the Book of Amos. And I salute you for your diligence and your desire to study together the minor prophets. We have an impossible task. In the back is an uninspired kings and prophets chart, which will help you keep track of the players. We are all the way down to Amos. He was a contemporary of Jonah. He prophesied during Israel's best, northern 10 tribes, was Jeroboam II. He's given very little time in scripture, but historically, he did an incredible amount to expand the borders of the northern tribes. Everybody in Israel. Now here's, bear with me, okay? If you want a really great application of the Book of Amos, you have to look at today's apostate churches. They draw people in with programs, they draw people in with social interaction and good facilities and lots of accoutrements. And their handling of scripture is weaker. So I have in my hand something really cool up here. I know where this lives. It lives in my garage. This is too important to actually be with my construction tools. Does anybody know this? A plumb bob. Yeah. And this is an antique plumb bob. The top of it unscrews. And carpenters always have spools and spools of dry lines because they use geometry, Amy, they use geometry to sort out how something is. They tie a knot on it and they screw it in here and they hold it like that, and then even the chip is replaceable on this, and then they hold it up from the string and they can tell if something's perfectly level. It really works very, very well. I use the plumb bob. I use my cell phone and I put the level on it and leveled it. And today, I'm sure with modern technology, we don't use plumb bobs nearly like they used to. They use levels and all sorts of equipment. Now in the big equipment, they have lasers that are tied to GPS tracking, and they can make a quarter of an inch grade across 40 acres. It's amazing what technology has brought. However, this has been around since the building of Babylon. Amos is a farmer. He's a working class guy, and he didn't want to be a prophet. No surprise there. Most of the prophets did not want to be prophets. But he came and he preached judgment by way of introduction and background to the book, because there's just not a lot of prophets that are given to the northern tribes. Most of them are to Judah. But here Amos is a prophet written to the northern tribes. And his top system of worship. Jeroboam I, who was the first king of the northern 10 tribes, decided he did not want his people going across the border from Bethel into Judah, was in Jerusalem, and that was in Judah and Benjamin. So the northern 10 tribes, they decided, well, we'll do one better than Judah, than the temple in Jerusalem. So Jeroboam developed a system of worship and all of the structures and all of the forms that was present in Jerusalem. So he appointed priests from all kinds of different people, not from the tribe of Levi or the sons of Kohen. He appointed priests, whoever wanted to be a priest, to calves, which are famous in Israel, the ones that led them out of Egypt. And he built an altar to the Lord that was just like the altar in Jerusalem. And he replicated Jerusalem in Bethel. He also put one there. If you're in the middle, you go this way. If you're at the southern, you go that way. He set up two worship systems that were not authorized by God. And as you track this through Kings, 1 Kings 13 is a great great fun, you know, the young prophet and the old prophet, his hand is withered, and prophecies about the king Josiah by name would bleach the bones and burn the bones of the false prophets on this altar. And so there's lots of words in scripture about this wrong system. The split in like, what would that be, 900, late 800, where they split and the divided kingdom all the way down to 722. So they coexisted for a fairly long period of time. They were obliterated by Assyria and scattered all across Asia Minor and Eastern Europe. They were just scattered across the Assyrian Empire. So the point here of Amos is that this false religion was in it. So if there is a church today that has got all kinds of programs and they're great with social interaction, but they are not preaching that you are declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, died for your sins and rose again, the more you go to it, the worse off you are. And you drink judgment to yourself, eat and drink judgment to yourself by participating in that false system of worship. You can go in any direction without hitting churches that have literally abandoned the gospel of grace and substituted a gospel of works. You'll be just fine as long as you come to church, as long as you give your money, as long as you attend our prayers. You have to have the righteousness of Christ applied to you personally. And that comes by faith alone in Christ alone. You're declared righteous, and that solves the sentence of condemnation. And then you walk by the power of the Spirit. So let's look at Amos. If you turn your bulletin over, you can see he wrote 755. This is the high point of Israel's history. His purpose was to preach against the syncretistic false worship established in the northern 10 tribes. Northern Israel, he's a farmer, and he doesn't want to do this. His idea, the sin of Israel will be judged, and following the judgment will be restoration. You can see in chapter 1, I'm going to hit some highlights here. And the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen in Tekoa, so it's up north, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, if you want to write in your Bibles, Jeroboam the second, the son of Israel. I feel about this earthquake other than what we read about in Amos. And interesting here, I think he's writing this preemptively as a prophet in 2 years. He roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, not from Bethel, not from Dan, where the false centers of worship were, but from Jerusalem. The Lord roars and comes out of Jerusalem. The rock of Carmel withers. This would be, Carmel is in the northern part of Israel. The judgment comes from Jerusalem. God will judge these northern tribes. Now he goes on a round robin circular addition and has a figure of speech here. You can see it in verse 3. For three transgressions, no, there are four. Kind of a really cool Hebraism where, you know, I'm only going to name three. I could name a lot. This is 100 miles north and east of Jerusalem. And what they did is listed there. Anytime nations do what these nations did, they will be judged. So cruelty, unbelievable immorality is listed there in chapter 1, verse 7. There's just lots of things that he deals with these different nations. Chapter 2, he continues going on through there, a man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. So you have unbelievable evil. Now, Judah and Israel are also included there, but he does this circle of judgment and then comes down and hits Judah himself. And the judgment is laid out in chapter 1 and chapter 2. The reasons for the judgment are given in chapters 3 through 6. I'd like to just highlight a couple of verses here. Chapter 3, verse 1. O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. And then he goes on through here. Verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? I had always thought this meant you shouldn't take a journey with people that you're fighting with. And, you know, we made journeys and I don't think we agreed about anything. He's not saying that. He's saying you can't meet and go on a journey together unless if you have a prearranged time. So Amos uses these the characteristic of Amos. He uses a lot of illustrations like this. You can see it, will a young lion cry out of his den if he has nothing? And so you're expecting the answer to be what he's going to bring you down. So he asks to bring it to the den. And the whole book is filled with these kinds of cool, literary, fun to listen to kinds of things. Sarah and I, when we were living in South Carolina, we stayed with an elderly lady our first year of marriage. For a year, she was in her 90s, Granny Trevathan. And she actually, her family came to South Carolina early on. They lived in tents in South Carolina. She was almost 100 years old and was a child, remember, living in tents in South Carolina, in the swampy areas of South Carolina. But she had all kinds of really cool sayings, like, I need that like a pig needs side pockets. You know, and I'd laugh, and I'd have no idea what she was talking about. Amos is like that. He uses all kinds of words. He didn't want to do this. He was happy being a keeper of sycamore figs, which is a kind of fruit that you have to break the end of it off in order for it to grow its fruit, and a herdsman. That's what he did. Verse 7 of chapter 3 is the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So here you find that you can take the Hebrew prophets and know that everything that God is going to do is nothing without revelation. Chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 14. The altars of Bethel and the horns of that altar shall be cut off. Bethel was the site of this false syncretistic. Chapter 4 is written to the women of Israel. This is rude and it's kind of crude. And only Amos can get away with fat cows. I'm not making this up. Chapter 4 is written to the women of Israel. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. These are women that he's speaking to, who are on the mountain of Samaria. Let us drink. I mean, here he is in their face, calling them fat cows, telling them what they're saying to their husband. Hey, give me some more liquor. Trailer park trash here, 101. The Lord has sworn by his holiness. Behold, again, Assyria did this. They would put hooks through the nose, strip people naked, and they marched them all across the Asia Minor and Eastern Europe. With fish hooks and your posterity with fish hooks, you will go out through broken walls, even far away. So verses 4 and 5, look at that. Here he's mocking them. Come to Bethel and transgress. Yeah, go to church. See if it helps you. Go to Gilgal. All it does is bring your tithes every 3 days, which none of them did. But work, you want to do it by a false system? Work a whole lot more, and it still isn't going to help you because it's the wrong protocols. It's the wrong theology. Verses 7, 8, 9, chapter 4, verse 12. Prepare to meet your God. Have you ever heard? This is the byline of the Hebrew prophets. And here it is in Amos. Prepare to meet your God. The judgment, chapter 5, verse 3, they're devastated. Probably this is a reference to the remnant. Out of 100, only 10 are left. And 11, where all Israel will be saved, but only the remnant. What is the remnant? Well, 90% of the Jews will be destroyed because they don't believe. Only 10 out of 100 will be left. Verse 5, seek me and live. Do not go to Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. So as you go through this, another reference here in verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter, you have the farmer talking about the constellations. We tend to think this is a modern thing. It's not. It's really funny. You're going to try to escape the judgment of God? Seriously? Verse 18, I'm 5:18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what is for what good is the day of the Lord to you? We are flying. So the guy is outside, he's working in the thicket. All of a sudden, here's a lion that chases him. And he starts running like crazy. And the lion gets tired. And then a bear starts to chase him. He finally runs to his house. And the serpent bit him. So this is Jewish humor. He escapes the lion, only to be chased by a bear. Finally, he gets him. Oh, I'm safe. And he puts his hand on the wall. And he gets bit by the asp. God is able to judge. Verse 21, I on true blood atonement. Verse 26 and 27, these idols that they carry all through their lives. Now in chapter 6, you have these woes that come. You can see it in verse 1. Drink from bowls. Why are they drinking from bowls? Because a tumbler is too narrow to get drunk as fast as they want to get drunk. Now, in chapters 7 through 9, you have the result. God says he's going to send a swarm of locusts. And Amos intervenes, and God says, okay, I won't do it. And then he says in verse 4, okay, I'm going to send a fire of judgment. And Amos intervenes and says, oh, Lord, please, I pray. The what? What is this? The plumb bob. The vision of the plumb bob. And he showed me, the Lord showed and stood on the wall made with a plumb line in his hand. This is a pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. He's a carpenter. He's standing there with a plumb bob and he says, look, I'm going to set this, Amos, what do you see? Verse 8. And I said, a plumb line. I like plumb bob. But then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of I will not buy them anymore. So we would say, you know, the application would be the plumb bob of scriptures to the law, to the prophets. If they don't speak according to these, it's because there is no light in them. So when Israel, the tribes of Israel, have moved from the revelation of God, he says, okay, there's no other solution but judgment. Chapter 7, verse 14. I was no prophet, nor I was more fruit. I loved my job. Didn't want to do this. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. I don't want to do it, but now here I am. So there's Amos standing up in 10 through 17 to those who oppose him. That's Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. So you can read about that on your own time. I don't have time to go through it. He's a farmer to say, no, this is, you're dead wrong. The vision of the basket of ripe fruit, and again, another one of Amos's visions. In the summer of the vision of summer fruit symbolize what will happen to the wicked. God is going to judge, and I've given you the details of chapter 8 in that section, 8, 1 through 14. And then the last vision that he has is the Lord striking the temple. But I just take a few minutes and talk to you about chapter 9 and pick this up in verses 1 through 6. In verses 1 through 6, what you're going to see is that there is no human way to escape God's judgment. The lion, the bear, and then bitten by the serpent. There is no escape. So if you look at verse 2, though they dig into hell, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. Though they hide themselves on my feet, God's judgment. A human being left by himself or herself cannot escape him. Verse 5 and 6, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell there mourn. There is no escaping, because he is the creator of all of the parts that we live in. The only way for us to escape judgment is not through human effort or human merit, but through the merit provided through God's sacrifice of his son Jesus. In verses 7 to 10, God says to the United States, are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me? Or Cush, as the Hebrew would be, or the children of Israel, says the Lord God. Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, which is Crete, and the Syrians from Kir? We're not sure where Kir is. I will destroy it from the face of the earth, yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. Israel, though they are going to be judged by God and scattered to every nation on the planet, they are not going to be utterly destroyed, according to Amos, verses 9 and 10. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among the nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. So Israel will be winnowed down. About 90% will be killed. The 10% will be saved, the remnant who believe in Jesus. And the nations will be scattered across the whole face of the globe. Now, in the we see prophets telling us that Gentiles will actually participate in the millennial reign of Christ. Gentile believers will share in the kingdom along with the remnant that are going to be the tabernacle or tent of David, which has fallen down. Right now, it's in complete and total disrepair. There is no temple. There are very few Jews who actually believe in the Messiah. And repair its damages. In the days of old, the temple will be rebuilt. And what's true of the time of David will be restored, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. What do you call yourself? Do you call yourself a Christian? How many of you call yourself a Christian? Do you realize that is a Gentile nomenclature? It first started in Antioch of Syria, chapter 11, where this church in Antioch of Syria has Jews and Gentiles in it, and they're first called Christians at that point. Little ones that belong to the Messiah. Gentiles, Israel, Christians. You will live and reign with Christ in the millennium. Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Now he talks about what our aspirations are when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. There's so much productivity that the ones who want to sow can't get the harvesters out of the field. the mountains shall drip with sweet wine. I will bring the captives of my people, Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them, and I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up. Only God is able to allow a person to escape judgment, and he does this through justification by faith. He will do it with Gentiles, he will do it with the Jews, and he will plant them in the land that will flow with milk and honey for your people who believe in you.